May the Lord help us to commence by singing part of hymn number 507. And we'll sing verse 1 and then from verse 7 to the end. How oft I grumble and repine with blessings in my hand. There's nothing here can satisfy, not gold, nor house, nor land. Hymn 507, singing verse 1 and from verse 7 to the end.
Oh, from the Holy Word of God. Let us read this evening in the Gospel of Matthew, and reading chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes, concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the Lord bless unto us each the reading of his holy and sacred word. And may he help us now to pray. Most holy and most gracious God, Lord, thou dost see us gathered together once more, here in this place, for the worship of thy name. And O Lord, do not let us worship thee with our lips only, and our hearts being far from thee. But Lord, through the influence of thy Spirit, draw each of our hearts this evening hour unto thyself. O Lord, do impart living faith unto us, that we may view a precious Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. For Lord, that is how we are gathered together here this night, sinners in thy sight. But O Lord, thy precious word says, those gracious words that fell from the lips of thine only begotten Son, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, fulfill thy gracious promise and be in our midst this night, collectively, and in the midst of our hearts, our own souls individually. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Without thee we shall gather ourselves now in vain, and attend to all things in vain. But we pray, Lord, thou wilt enable us to pour out our hearts before thee in humble thanksgiving for thy many mercies. For, Lord, it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. Lord, thy compassions, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. For thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, thou hast been long-suffering and gracious and kind and merciful. And Lord, we would seek to return truly thankful hearts for all that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee for thy precious word. And Lord, as we have read a small portion of it this night, oh, may it not return unto thee void. May it accomplish that which thou doth please. And may it prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, we come this night hoping to receive a blessing from thy word. Lord, do open our hearts to receive thy word of truth, as thou didst Lydia's heart before the Apostle Paul, as he spoke those words unto her heart. Lord, they were thy words through him, in the power of thy Spirit, and were the joy and rejoicing of her heart. Lord, may that be the case here, not only tonight, but on each occasion, Lord, where thy dear people, praying people, are gathered together here. Oh, do bless, Lord, the preaching of the gospel. May each one, Lord, thou hast sent to labour in the ministry of thy word, Lord, may they become here as the messenger in thy message to each needy soul. Lord, thou knowest the way that we take. Thou knowest our hearts before thee now. All that has taken place in the earlier hours of this day. Oh, Lord, there's so much to fill us with the things of this world, because we are of the earth earthy. Lord, we need those things which we have to attend to supply our daily needs. But, Lord, thou knowest those things we have need of. Thou hast said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, we confess, Lord, our failings, where we so often have it the other way round. Lord, we give time and attention and our hearts and minds to our daily needs and all that concerns us in this life. And then, Lord, after that we give thought unto thee and thy righteousness. O Lord, who rule our hearts by thy Spirit, lead us in the way that is right. Keep us at thy feet. Help us, Lord, to commit our way unto thee, to trust also in thee, for thee to bring all things to pass. Commend to thee, Lord, this church and congregation that gather here week by week and in the week. O Lord, be mindful of each one and hear the prayers that are put up to thee now from each heart. Those groanings which cannot be uttered. the Lord help me. Lord save me. Lord undertake for me. Lord, those urgent pressing cases. And O Lord, do give answers in accordance with thy will and purpose, in accordance with thy peace. Lord, do and bless the church, help the deacons, Lord, in all that they have to attend to. And Lord, grant that unity of thy spirit, the bond of thy peace. Lord, grant that unity in the church that Satan cannot disturb and break. Oh, be a wall of fire, Lord, round about this place here, and the glory in the midst. Oh, Lord, do hear their prayers, the exercise, Lord, that united exercise of their heart. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt answer in accordance with thy will. Lord, each one of the congregation, Lord, remember them. May they know the blessing of thy peace, a peace that passeth understanding within their heart. Lord, bring them to call upon thee in all their ways. And Lord, in attending this place here, oh, may they feed under the sound of the gospel. And may they find their soul salvation. Constrain, Lord, to testify of thy mercy toward them and thy love and their love toward thee. O Lord, so work that work of thy grace in each and every heart. Remember the children and the young people. We commend them to thee. O Lord, do bless them abundantly. Call each one to be a lamb of thy fold. Lord, watch over them day by day. Keep them from harms and from all dangers and from every evil. Do not let Satan have the mastery over them. Help them in their education and as they grow, Lord, gaining from their very early days faculties and, Lord, the use of them. O Lord, we pray thou wilt bless them indeed, that they may grow to be true followers of thee, that knowledge within their own soul of a precious Saviour. Lord, the young people likewise, O confirm in them their interest in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, make Jesus precious unto them. And Lord, do enable them to live unto thee, to be true followers of thee. And oh, Lord, through thy power, the power of thy spirit, may they be true witnesses of thee, of that hope through grace. Of eternal life. And from the rising generation, Lord, may there be those increases in the visible church. O Lord, do grant these things in these evil days. And from each of us, Lord, older in years, oh, we need that work of grace, Lord, continually to be begun and to be continued in us. Lord, we pray thou wilt never leave us and nor forsake us. Be with those, Lord, with specific duties and responsibilities. Remember each dear family. Lord, be with the mothers and the fathers in all their cares and concerns for the children thou hast given them. And Lord, remember those who expect children. Keep those mothers, Lord, in health and in strength. And may the ones, Lord, to be born to them in due time proved to be not only a child in the flesh, but a child of thy grace. O Lord, do bless each one and give them all needed patience, perseverance, and all needed wisdom in all the matters that arise. And may, Lord, there be the fruit of those endeavours of bringing up their children in the fear of the Lord. O Lord, do grant thy blessing. Lord, remember those in business, those in occupation, Lord, those who have to deal with much ungodliness and perhaps much blasphemy in the conversations round and about them. O Lord, keep them near to thyself and give them all needed wisdom and grace how to handle every matter. And help them in their endeavours to do all things, not to the glory of man, but, Lord, to thine honour and to thy glory. O Lord, who provide through the occupation and business the needs, the daily needs of each one. Lord, remember those of older years. Lord, we commend them to thee. Lord, would none of us know the length of our days. But as each day passes by, we know it is one day nearer at the end of time. O Lord, do grant that preparation for that call from time into eternity. Prepare us, Lord, to stand before thy face. And Lord, those who perhaps feel the weakness of body and mind, Lord, perhaps a sore temptation and trial to them, and perhaps in a great fear, Lord, do speak the fear not, and reveal to them, Lord, more of thy grace, of thy mercy, and of thy love unto their soul. So, Lord, we commit our way unto thee. Remember those unable to be here tonight. Lord, some on holiday. Lord, watch over them and keep them safe in thy care. Bless them bodily, mentally, and spiritually. There are those, Lord, perhaps detained because of their business and responsibilities, some in occupation. O Lord, watch over them, we pray, and keep them safe in thy care and hear their prayers. If any are unwell, Lord, and sick, we commend them to thee. Those who have the responsibility of children, Lord, to grant thy blessing and favours toward them. Lord, remember the one who would have been here tonight, but through weakness of old age, has had to lay aside the labours in thy name. Lord, we commend him to thee. Lord, may he find rest to his body there in the Bethesda home at Harpenden. Watch over him day by day, and may he know thy presence is with him. So, Lord, hear us now. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Hear our poor cries. Have mercy upon us, and Lord, do open up thy holy word of truth to each one of us, whether hearing or speaking. May the words of these lips and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn number 144.
all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may open up to us the sacred truth of his holy word. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the last three verses of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28, 29 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Verses 28 to 30 of this 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When I was called into the ministry, I said within myself, I would not preach from those words which are so well known, for so many sermons had already been preached on them, and I would not be able to add anything, only perhaps take away. But, dear friends, we learn that we have to speak as the Lord would have his word laid upon us. And I trust it is of the Lord's will that he may open up to us each the truth of this well-known word this night. For these words are often stated. They are often read. And dear friends, the reason for that is because they are greatly needed. Needed by the people of God as they walk this sin-cursed earth with sinful hearts within them. The Lord Jesus, who spoke these gracious words, had been teaching the people and his disciples at that time. His teaching was quite gracious and very solemn. The chapter began, didn't it, with the disciples of John being sent by John unto Jesus. And he taught them through the things that he did and the things which he spoke. John had sent those disciples with that question: art thou he that should come? In other words, the promised Messiah. Or do we look for another? Dear friends, what a question to come from the lips of John the Baptist. He was in prison, and his work appeared to have ended. A And we perhaps can look at that two ways. Why John should send those disciples. Being in prison, John could have come to a very low state spiritually. Had all his labours been in vain. Had he come to such that low state, as we might say, of depression in his soul. To raven Satan, a mighty foe within him, raising those doubts and those fears. And he sends his disciples to inquire assuredly of Jesus. Or was the reason something else? Did John know that his days were now short? His disciples would be left, as it were, like a sheep without a shepherd. And he desired them to know the true shepherd, the good shepherd, and sends them to Jesus with that question, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Oh, they had revealed unto them, didn't they, the truth. As it is in Jesus. Go and tell John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor of the gospel preach to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Friends, what an assuring answer. That would have been to John if he was in that depressed state. It would have been his peace, wouldn't it? And dear friends, what a sweet answer to those disciples when John was beheaded. And they lost him to whom they'd attended to. They took his body, they buried it, and it's sweet to read. That they went and told Jesus. Oh, what a refuge they found in Jesus. And dear friends, this is the case, isn't it, of all that come into difficulties and troubles spiritually. They find in Christ that refuge. And he is a refuge for sinners. The Lord Jesus goes on to speak very solemnly to the multitude around him. He speaks of John the Baptist. What a great a person he was upon this earth. There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Although John was born by the will of God upon this earth, and led by the Spirit of God to declare the coming of Christ, a true prophet, one who was led of the Spirit in that earthly office he had to fulfill. Dear friends, that earthly office, great as it was insufficient to merit him eternal life. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist, born of man, born of the seed of Adam. He was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And even that great work he had to fulfill upon this earth was not sufficient in and of itself to gain him access into heaven. John knew what it was to be a sinner saved by grace. He needed it. And so does everyone who is to have a hope of eternal life. They need to know what it is to be a sinner and to be saved by grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the hearts of all mankind by nature. We're no different to those to whom the Lord spoke here. Oh, even if it was John, he said, speaking, or Jesus speaking, a fault was found. And where those mighty works had been done, and the wonderful truth had been spoken in those cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, there was no repentance. There was no turning about from the hope they had in and of themselves that they were righteous. Oh, they were the Jews. They were of Abraham's seed. They were of Jacob's seed. They were had the law of God through Moses. They were the Lord's chosen people. Their hope was built upon their obedience to that law and upon whose they were. And they held to that. There was no repentance, no turning about to their need of their soul salvation because of their innermost sins. Oh, dear friends, how deceitful are our hearts by nature. They don't convince us of our sin, do they? They try to exalt us for our righteousness. And is that not the same today? Is it not the same with you and with me? Oh, how ready we are perhaps at times to raise ourselves above others in righteousness, condemn others in judgment, judging others by our own selves. Oh, this is the nature of our own hearts. And what a solemn judgment comes upon those who are left to the nature of their own earthly heart. It shall be more acceptable for Sodom in the day of judgment, more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Oh, dear friends, does that make you tremble? Tremble at the word of God and tremble because of what we are by nature. The Lord Jesus prayed at this time. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Those who glory in their own self, in their own wisdom, in their own understanding, in their own endeavours, in what they do and what they keep themselves from. Oh, how they glory and in what they are. Thou hast hidden these things, the things of the need of one's soul's salvation, the forgiveness of sins. But thou hast revealed them unto babes. Thou hast revealed them unto babes. Now, dear friends, you know what a babe is by nature. When it is born, it is helpless, isn't it? It has no ability to do anything for itself. But it knows its need. It knows its need of food and nourishment. And it cries. It cries out for it. If it wasn't provided for by the loving parents, it would soon perish, wouldn't it? Even as it grows up into childhood years, It still needs the provision of a parent. It hasn't the wisdom. It hasn't the strength. It hasn't the ability to care for itself. It knows its need and depends upon it. So it is, dear friends, with these spiritual babes. They're born, they're quickened, and they're alive. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit unto one dead in trespasses and in sin. Through the quickening of the Holy Spirit, one comes to know their need of salvation. There's nothing they can do for their own selves. Without the forgiveness of their sin, the blotting out of their transgressions, the bestowing upon them of redeeming love, and then they would perish. And so they are babes who are in great need. And oh, how sweet these words of Jesus. To come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Thy word spoken to these babes in Christ. These babes who can do nothing for themselves. That spiritual babe who knows complete their only hope of eternal life is found in the favour, the mercy, and the merits of what Christ Jesus hath done for their soul. For he alone can feed them with righteousness. Blessed are they, says the Lord Jesus, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's the babes in Christ. They shall be filled. Oh, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You see, this labour is not the labour of one's hands, of one's daily duties and responsibilities. That is the labour on account of sin. We have to labour, don't we, for the provision of our bodies and for our earthly good. Dear friends, don't forget it's because of sin. Those solemn words to Adam in the garden after Adam had sinned and Eve had sinned. By the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread. And there would be much to hinder him. There would be thorns and the thistles. As he came to till the ground. And all we find in this life, don't we, so much to hinder us as we go about our daily business to do those things which are necessary. Dear friends, it's good for us to realise that all those things arise because of sin. Oh, and what was the word unto Eve? She would be subject to her husband. And she would have labour in childbearing. Or the pain in childbearing. Dear friends, it's on account of sin. What a mercy where the Lord provides and has mercy that there is the gift of children. That there is the provision for our daily needs. For he yet grants it. And so we have that word is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed. because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. And this text, dear friends, is a text of his compassion to needy sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labour. They're labouring under the sense and the burden of sin. Oh, haven't we sung, the more I sinned, more I strove against sin's power, the much sinned more and more. There's a striving, isn't there, against sin, because of that great fear that if we're left as sinners upon this earth and die as sinners, then a solemn eternity awaits us. All this causes these babes burdened by sin, need of salvation, to cry out. And dear friends, that answer to those cries for mercy, those cries to be fed, is come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the rest in his redeeming love. The knowledge of that which Christ hath done for the blotting out of all transgressions, that we be delivered from the power of sin. Dear friends, how vital this word is. The application of it. Oh, dear friends, is there any of you here this night who does not know the application or desire the application of such a word as this? For this is the only way that we can gain entrance into eternal life, into the glory of God in heaven. Oh, how solemn the alternative. There's only one other way, isn't there? To that place prepared for the devil and the angels. Oh, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. It's Paul, isn't it? Writing to the Hebrews, says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should see to come short of it. Let us therefore fear. What a glorious promise this is. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Lest we should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Dear friends, how many heard this word of Jesus as he preached here to the multitude? How many did it have a gracious effect upon? Only those that had faith, that precious gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that quickens that soul. Oh, dear friends, how precious it is if we know the gift of the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ unto us. For the Holy Spirit reveals, the revealer of sin is me. Jesus said he would pray the Father that he would send the Holy Spirit to convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And dear friends, when we're under that influence of the Spirit, of sin and no righteousness of ourselves, that we're all as an unclean thing, and of the judgment under the righteous law of God, which brings condemnation, dear friends, we shall fear, we shall tremble. But if there is not that influence of the Holy Spirit, oh, how we can just enter into our ears into our heads maybe, but never have an effect upon our heart. Not mixed with faith with them that hear it. Because, dear friends, where there's no faith, there is unbelief. See that they could not enter in, where into the rest, because of unbelief. Unbelief. Oh, what a dreadful. What a dreadful thing is unbelief. How it hardens our heart. How it keeps us from the application of the Word of God. How we need that influence of the Holy Spirit that gives us believing views of Jesus. You know, this unbelief is a very broad topic. You know, we read of Nicodemus. Didn't Nicodemus believe at the beginning? He even said, "We know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him." But dear friends, that wasn't a believing faith, was it? The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again. He must be born of the Spirit. He must be born of God." Oh, how vital. How different it was with that woman of the city. What a lovely example she is of this, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Being a woman of the city, she would be a dreadful sinner. A prostitute, no doubt. Something she could not turn away from in her own flesh and the lusts of her flesh. But dear friends, within her there was the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. It constrained her irresistibly with all her sin that she had committed to come unto Jesus. Oh, the Pharisee had invited Jesus, hadn't he, into his house. And this woman came. We don't read she spoke any words. But she poured out her heart before the Lord Jesus at his feet. What an expression of her faith that was. Why? She anointed his feet with that ointment. We read later of Mary, don't we, anointing Jesus' feet, or anointing his head, rather, with ointment. "She hath done this against my burying." Dear friends, I believe this woman of the city foresaw in Jesus Christ his death on account of sin. And her sin, oh, the great desire was to lay her sin upon him. Oh, what a burden it was to her. She couldn't rid herself of it. But she comes in an expression of true confession of sin, weeping, washing his feet with the tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head, anointing with that ointment. She expressed all her desires. She wasn't sent empty away, was she? Oh, Simon the Pharisee, he thought he knew better. Oh, he said, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known what type of woman this was that touched him, for she is a sinner." Dear friend, that's why Christ came, to call sinners to repentance. Call those with the burden of sin. Those who labour under its power. Those who strive against it without any success of themselves. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To rest in my love. Oh, that woman found rest, didn't she? The Lord Jesus turned to her and said, thy sins are forgiven thee. There were those who queried that the Lord Jesus could forgive sins. But he continued to speak to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, the precious gift of faith, the precious grace of the Holy Spirit, given of God to all those that are his. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear friends, this text is a word for sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If that rest is the knowledge of his redeeming love, that's love shed abroad in the heart, again by the Holy Ghost, given unto you. Those are the moments, aren't they, rich in blessing, which before the cross are spent. Oh, that dear woman knew it. I remember hearing once of a woman. She was in the church. And it came to the time of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And she felt herself so burdened with sin that when the deacon brought the cup to her, she pushed it away. She couldn't drink it. She was so unworthy. The deacon said to her, woman, that blood was shed for sinners. She could then take it. Oh, how sweet, isn't it? It's not our righteousness, it's not our worthiness, it's not our goodness. It's our need of a Saviour on account of our sin. And the blessed work of the Spirit that draws us irresistibly to the sound of that voice. That voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. Come unto me, all ye that labour, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Pour out your heart before him in humble confession. Oh, do think of that woman. You know, in effect, she'd taken upon her the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. Well, a yoke is normally a device for carrying a burden, isn't it? But, dear friends, this burden of sin is now no longer carried alone. You see the example here, the similitude, I believe, is that of two oxen yoked together. The yoke of the oxen. In Israel, the farmer often put the yoke upon that large, strong, experienced ox. And the other part of the yoke, which coupled to the main one, was a poorer one, a weaker one, one who was perhaps younger, learning. They were yoked together. And as the continuance of the ploughing of the field was to be undertaken. All the labour, all the burden, all the strength needed was in that oxen, the large oxen. The small one was there to follow, depending upon the strength of the larger oxen. And the yoke kept together that young one may learn the right way. Now the Lord Jesus here speaks of his yoke. Oh dear friends, what he has carried under the burden of sin. the sins of all his people, those for whom he died. He says, come unto me, take my yoke upon you. Bound together with him in that bond of his love. That yoke that you cannot be separated from. Bound unto Christ through that work of the Spirit. And there, as you carry on in life, oh, you do not know which way to take. You're subject still, aren't you, to your own hearts and minds, your own earthly spirit. Perhaps you'll want to go one way and be disobedient. Dear friends, the yoke, it keeps you unto Christ. And there has to be the pricks. There has to be the guidance to try and pull away from that yoke. It will hurt. No, it's to keep close, isn't it? To keep close unto Christ, bound by the yoke of his redeeming love. Leaning upon him, your beloved. That's how we go along, isn't it? That's what we read of in the Song of Solomon. That one coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life that leads unto eternal life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Leaning upon him, trusting in him. And oh, dear friends, all those troubles and difficulties, doubts and fears you've got as you journey along, cast them upon the Lord. He's the strength to bear them. He's there to help, to succor his people, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I am meek and lowly in heart. Oh, dear friends, he doesn't reward us according to our iniquities, does he? He doesn't judge us according to our sin. No, that bond of love upon those for whom he died. And there he keeps them close to himself. And his people find rest for their souls, trusting in him at all times, pouring out their heart before him. A refuge for them. Their strength in times of trouble, a very present help in times of trouble. Oh, how the scriptures all blend together, don't they? To testify of the goodness, the mercy, the nature of this Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That word easy. Dear friends, it's really part of the verb to ease. When we want ease, we're in a time of trouble, aren't we? In fact, the Greek word is sometimes in the New Testament translated as gracious. And in one place is translated as kind. I think the word gracious is in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. Those who have known the Lord to be gracious. For my yoke is easy, to ease all your burden. To supply all your need, to lead you forth by the right way, to ease you, yes, in effect, to carry you. Down to Horhairs have I carried you. All that need of life's journey laid upon Christ. And he bears it, he bears you along. And my burden is light. My burden is light. Oh, dear friends, there is a bit of a burden, isn't there? A great burden, perhaps you would say, in seeking to follow him. Oh, your own heart within you by nature, it's still rebellious, isn't it? rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. Oh, that lightens the burden, doesn't it? As you can cast the burden of sin upon him all the days of your life. The Apostle Paul, after his conversion, it was then he knew the iniquity within greater than he'd ever known it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. Oh, that outlightened the burden of the sinful nature of the Apostle Paul. Dependent completely on what the Lord had done for him and that bond of love laid upon him. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, dear friends, I don't want to really carry on because of the sweetness of it to a needy sinner such as me, and I trust for needy sinners such as you. Oh, may the word be applied in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance to bring you, cause you, constrain you to come humbly to the feet of the precious Saviour. That mercy seat. That's a lovely type, isn't it, of Christ in the Old Testament, the mercy seat. There, that which was of pure gold, covering that which was in it, the law, which had been broken. Oh, that promise, there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And dear friends, it's the mercy seat, for that's where the people obtain mercy, through the offering of blood, the sacrifice, and the high priest. But there we have the office of Christ. That glorious high priest who shed his own blood. The veil of the temple now torn, ripped from the top to the bottom. Access made to the footstool of mercy. There to plead with the Lord for mercy. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's just a hymn just comes to me as I close. It's in the 900s, isn't it? And how this speaks. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. Why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Dear friends, the words of Jesus, he is faithful that hath promised. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock at our special services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 593. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. Hymn 593.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with you each now and even forevermore. Amen.